G'day everyone, welcome to a special edition of The Fend, brought to you by George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook and Five Star Real Estate. Horsey with you. I've given Jimmy the day off to go and recharge for our next finals episode. Today I'm going to talk to a guy who played plenty of finals footy back in the 1990s. He packed plenty into his time at the top level, and he's part of arguably the NRL's most fascinating footballing family. Yeah, our special guest today played 111 games for the North Sydney Bears between 1993 and 1999. Then he was part of the Northern Eagles joint venture in 2000 and 2001, playing 22 first grade games. Welcome to The Fend, Josh Stewart. How are you?
Yeah, good, Adam. Yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate. It's been a while.
It has been a long time.
Just for the benefit of listeners, I guess my first contact with you, I was a journalist at Rugby League Week, and I think I caught up with you and a few of the old Bears boys. I think you'd bought a speedboat or something, and we did a story on that. Do you remember? Do you remember that?
We went to it was like a junior rugby league auction to raise money for the juniors, and we stuck our hand up for a boat, which we end up calling Sausage Time.
Yeah.
Gary Larson, myself, and Matty Sears bought it, paid $17,000 for it. It had a 90 horsepower force on it. The beauty of that was it was allowed to stay at my house and do sleepovers at my house because I was the one near the water and the only one with a boat license. So,
that's handy.
It ended up being a Josh Stewart boat that was funded by Matty Sears and Gary Larson. So,
thanks, boys.
a quick funny story about that, Adam. You wouldn't believe it. Gary took the boat with Flo, because Flo's his brother-in-law, and they took it up to Shoal Bay to go and take the boat out for a run and all the rest of it. And Gary was driving the boat, and he's going, geez, the boat's going ordinary. It's really sluggish. Anyway, he realised when his wife told him, Kate, oh, Gary, look in the back, there's a heap of water in the boat. He forgot to put the bungs in, and he had to beach it, which was a 4.8-metre boat, so he had to beach it just to save face and not sink it. So,
oh, man. He lost his licence after that one, I'm tipping.
Well, he never had one, so.
What? So what are you doing with yourself these days?
I'm at a mortgage broker now, so I just find people home loans, or whether the best rate or whatever. It's just more about servicing clients and making their dreams come true, which is happening a fair bit lately. And I've been doing this for 18 years. I work for a dual finance, so I contract to dual finance on Josh Stewart Family Trust. But, things have been going all right.
That's awesome, mate. That's awesome. And before we talk about your career, our listeners might not know, but you are related to a present-day NRL legend. Tell us.
Yeah. So, actually, we texted each other just before, Nathan Cleary is my nephew. He's my sister's son. I had a call from the Ukrainian Rugby League not so long ago. We've actually got Ukrainian blood in us. My mother's Ukrainian. My dad's Scottish descent, hence her name Stuart. But my mother came over here as a POW when she was 4-year-old. She was born in Hallendorf in Germany in a POW. They come over on a boat, just her and her parents. They lived in Basil, which is a big Ukraine community, or was back in the day. So Jet, my nephew, and Jason Deef's young kids. Jason Deef married another sister of mine. So they all the junior Clearys, Jet does Nathan Wood, but obviously he can play for Australia. Phoenix Deef, Cruz Deef, my son Billy. My son's boys, they all qualify to play for the Ukraine. Apparently,
wow,
with all this world war going on at the moment, they need some juniors. So there's every chance that one of my nephews will be playing for the Ukraine in the under-18 side.
Incredible. What a story.
Yeah.
I've stumbled on a scoop.
Yeah.
Well, that's an incredible story. So with Nathan, mate, does he call you Uncle Josh?
Yeah, he calls me Uncle Josh, and a few of his teammates do. I've done a couple of loans for a couple of his teammates. I'm just known as Uncle Josh. I used to be Josh Short, the football. Now I'm just Nathan Cleary's uncle, which I don't mind. It's got me on the footy show, and they paid me for doing that, so I don't care either way.
When did you realise your little nephew, Nathan, might have a future as a footy player, that he might make it?
Look, my dad never got to see Nathan play, but he was Nathan's biggest fan. And my old man played four first grade games for Newtown back in 67 or 68. He was a South Sydney player who played for the Alexandria Rovers. George Piggins, Bobby McCarthy, all these players were in front of him. And he left there and had his last year at Newtown before he bought a shop at Wynyard Station, a butcher shop. That was a butcher. And he always said Nathan's going to be someone special. I drove him out a couple of occasions out to Penrith to watch him play in the 20s, Nathan. And he always had the gift with the ball. At 18-year-old, 17-year-old, whatever it was, he was playing that. And he said, Uncle Josh, he said, what do I do? He says, I've got the opportunity to play in the 20s grand final. And I said, what's the problem? He goes, well, I've also got the opportunity to play for Australian schoolboys and tour New Zealand.
Mm.
So I just told him off the bat, I said, listen, mate, you can always win grand finals, and winning a 20s grand final. I said, I won two reserve grade grand finals with North Sydney. Yes, they meant a lot. And I said, it's nothing like winning a first grade grand final, and it's also nothing like representing your country. So I said, my advice to you is to play for your country. So he did, and he missed the opportunity to play for the 20s, which they won, I think, anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
And now he's gone on and played in three grand finals, won two, played for Australia, played for New South Wales, done everything, and he's only 25-year-old, so.
Mate, no wonder he goes to Uncle Josh for a few tips. mate, let's talk about the career of Josh Stewart. Your debut, mate, I checked this out, 1993 against the Gold Coast Seagulls. This is before the Titans. This is the Seagulls. Yeah. And I believe you're up. Wally Lewis was the Seagulls coach. It was a 22-14 win for the Bears at North Sydney Oval. Bumper crowd of 5,548. What are your memories?
big crowd. So, look, vague memories of that. What had happened was back in those days, I think it might have been two fresh reserves that hadn't played or might have had to play half a game. I played half a game reserve grade. They pulled me off and they allowed me to go on to, I think it was the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I remember John McArthur, who I worked with at the time at North Sydney Leagues Cup, said, mate, just hang in tough. You'll be sweet. Just listen to what everyone's telling you to do and you'll be fine. So I got through that unscathed and I think the following week, I was 92 kilo, I think, too. And then the following week, I think I played off the bench as a super sub or a fresh sub. I think me and Craig Wilson were called the super subs around that time. And then I think I ended up playing three starting games. And then Mario Fennick come back from either suspension and injury. And I'm not too sure it was Newcastle or Illawarra. We had to play at Newcastle Illawarra. And Peter Louis put Mario back in the start. And so I went back to the bench. He said something about a defensive, you'd be stronger in defence at the end of the game. So I said, yeah, whatever. I was 20-year-old. I was pretty raw bone and pretty fresh behind the ears. So I just took it in my stride. Then unfortunately, I broke my collarbone against the Broncos that year. I think I played one further game in first grade against South or something, just come off the bench again. First game back, I played against Manly at Manly. I played 20s and I played reserve grade. But I hadn't realised in the first game in 20s I'd broken my thumb.
Mm.
So I tried to sit on and play longer. But I ended up succumbing to the injury and had 4 weeks out with a broken thumb after having 8 weeks out with a broken collarbone. So it was disappointing in the way that year went. But it was also very exciting because I made my first grade debut when I turned 21 that year. And about 15 of the first graders turned up to my house to celebrate the 21st. So that was good.
That would have been a good party.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Mate, who was the loosest unit at North?
Danny Williams, without a shadow of a doubt.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but me and him are like peas in a pod. The best of mates, we still are, and yeah, look, we've done some funny, crazy stuff together.
That's a completely other show, that one.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's probably not for these viewers always, that's for sure.
So in 94, mate, you played like 19 games in first grade, but you didn't play in the finals. What happened What happened
there? Again, it was a frustrating year. I was as a super sub. I don't think I started too many games that year, if I started any. And again, you've probably got the stats in front of you. I think he went with Adrian Toole in the end. And I missed the game against Canberra in the semi, which we should have won. That's a game that Gary Larson, Johnny Lamos got sent off first, and then Gary Larson spear tackled someone and got sent off straight after. So it's one of those things. I really didn't enjoy that year at all. I don't know if it's because I had a chip on my shoulder or what. Things go through your head at different stages. I ended up having a massive year, 95, 96, 97. 98 would have been good if I didn't get suspended for so long. But that's football. That's football.
But 94, that game you mentioned against the Raiders, that sums up to me the Bears' curse, because it was all there for you. You got to the prelim final, just a game away from the GF. Lomax sent off for Canberra. Here it is. They're going to win the Bears. And then the cleanest man in the game, Gary Larson, gets sent off. It's just
unbelievable. It was probably his first and last send-off. And surprisingly, Adam and people, I don't know if you got the stats there, I only ever got sent off once in first grade. The infamous 12-week suspension that happened against Newcastle in 98, I actually stayed on the field, and then for some unknown reason, Peter Louis pulled me off. I had the old poker machine always going on. I was going crazy. I was whacking anyone and everyone I could. And we're in front at the time, and they pulled me off, and we ended up getting beat. Not that was my fault, that regards to me getting pulled off, that we would have won. But I think we were going a lot closer to winning that game. But
Is this a 98 game? Is this the one?
98, yeah.
Yeah. So when you say you stayed out there, that obviously before you got sent off. Was that a Troy Flick?
No, I didn't get, that's what I'm saying. I didn't get
sent off. Oh, so you got the suspensions later, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first time I'd been referred. Someone had immediately been referred to the
that's right.
Judiciary. Yeah. So of course they deemed it, and what they thought, and I feel sorry for Troy Fletcher because he's the only receiving end of what happened. And I've seen the video time and time again. It makes me feel sick in the guts, to be honest, because it wasn't intentional. I think Willie Mason hit him around the legs, and he was coming down. And look, you can't change things. I mean, everything you got a split second in rugby league. It's like I don't understand the bunker these days, because unless you play the game, you don't understand these things are happening in microseconds. You can't change it. You can't stop it. And these days, they slow everything down to frame by frame by frame. Well, it doesn't happen that way, So if I don't like the bunker, as you can probably say, video ref killed my career, because they started watching games a lot more closely, and they can see replays. And I got away with far more than I ever got caught with.
You're a bit of an enforcer, weren't you?
Yeah, but I had to be. I was 5'10", and at best, the heaviest I got when I was playing first grade was 108 kilo. But imagine me playing against Payne Haas now, he's 120-something, and he's 6'6" or 6'4".
Yeah, like, he's a monster.
But Trevor Gilmoss is shorter than me, and also was as damaging. Like, Dave Gillespie, same height as me, similar sort of physique. And like, it's all about timing with defence. And as you get older and you get slower, that swinging arm comes out because you're not getting there in time.
How'd you cope with that time in your life? Because it got that game got a lot of attention. And I think, for memory, Norths might have even docked your pay off the back of that, a 12-match ban.
Yeah, it was $90,000. There's a clause in your contract, there's clause 42.1 or whatever, where they can dock a ninth, a seventh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
A ninth or a seventh of your contract per game suspended. So I think I was on about $225,000 that year, and the fine ended up equating to $90,000. I showed Danny Harley that. Bob Saunders, I think, enforced that, or Wayne Beatty, one of the two of them. And they handed me a letter of training, and I went and seen our operations manager. I said, listen, mate, this is bullshit. I don't want to be here. I want to get out of here, and I want to go now. He said, Josh, he said, take off for a week. I'll see you when you get back. and we'll start training. I said, no, I don't want to be here at all.
Mm.
At the time, I had Wayne Beavis as a manager, and Gus Gould had reached out to him. He was the coach at the Roosters, I believe. And he said, well, tell him to come over and play. You can play with us. We'll give him 3 years. And it was a good contract. It was better than what I was currently on.
Mm.
Back then, the contract was a contract, and I couldn't get out. So I ended up staying, and they reduced me fine from 90,000 to 20,000 with a 33,000 what we call suspended, or it's 30,000, sorry, suspended fine. So they invoked that, and then unfortunately the following year we went down to Wagga Wagga, and there was a fight in a pub, which I got blamed the majority of it for, and they took $33,000 off me for that, which it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. I can understand why you wanted to take off after that. Jeez. So, mate, so 90. Let's go back to 95. So, what? Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Super League experience. Like we heard, for example, the Knights. Yeah, Chief Harrigan got in the bus, drove the whole team down to the ARL. They all signed their checks. What happened with the Bears?
Ours was really poorly handled. We were split. Our club was split. There's blokes like Tony Hearn, Mark Sode, myself, Craig Wilson, who wanted to hear both sides of the story. So we actually went over to town where John Rebo had his office and listened to their side of it. I mean, like, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but had we gone, North Sydney would be a prominent force and they'd be playing the NRL still.
You believe that?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, so Penrith went there, they were broke. Yeah.
Hmm.
St. George Illawarra, they joined up. They're not still wealthy. The other ones that went there, besides the new clubs that had come in, Canterbury's still there. The way I look at it, we had the opportunity to stay in the comp. We're a foundation club, and that's got to hold some sort of West. They're gone, you know, like. They were gone probably prior to that name. I can't remember, but
West were there. They combined with Belmont.
Yeah, they had to join the Tigers. Mm. So, like, if they would have gone, you know, I mean, like, we'd still have these foundation clubs in the game. And
what did North Sydney say to you? What did North Sydney? They didn't want to let. They didn't want you guys.
We had Ray Beattie in that plead their case and say, look, we think that Super League's a load of hogwash and won't last long. Blah, blah, blah. We had Ken Arfson come out and present to us. So what ended up happening, just so you're aware, we're in our video room. As a day of training, we're in the video room and players were singled out. Jason Taylor, David Fairley, Billy Moore, Gary Lowe. The people that played State of Origin, et cetera, at that time, because Herney did play State of Origin and played well, they said, listen, guys, you better get into Phillip Street and I don't know what's going on there, but you better get in there. So they went in there. They even fairly come back with a check in his shoe. He was too scared to take it out of his shoe. And then the money filtered down to the rest of it. So I got a check for $30,000. Had I gone to Super League, I would have got $100,000 up front regardless because I played so many first grade games already. I was having a really good year that year. We still bounced back and we had a good football team. We're all mates. The North Sydney Bears, we're a Bears family. We have a reunion every year and we'll have that on Saturday before the grand final. I never played the game for money in the first place. That was just a bonus. It was a byproduct of playing football. And the money would have come in handy, especially when I lost all that money in 98 and all the rest, 99. But I'm doing it off myself. I'm not concerned about money, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. I remember at the start of 1996, I kicked off with Rugby League Week and I was all pumped up for the first week of the season to cover it. It was like six forfeits. You remember that? There was only four games went ahead. These Super League teams refused to play. Yeah. So at the end of 96, you guys made another prelim against St. George.
Yeah.
And again, you guys were the first into the prelim, I think, and the Dragons were on a bit of a roll. They beat you 29-12. You guys had the week off, yeah, so maybe... Do you remember that one? You're a bit rusty. What went wrong?
Look, it's just when you make and you're on a bit of a roll and you make these semi-finals and all this sort of stuff, you've had a week off, all I say is it's in the back. It's not in your back of mind, but, like, people start acting differently, you know. When I was at Manly in 91, they pulled me into the first grade squad to play first grade in the Canberra semi-final. I think Danny Russell ended up playing hooker that year. I was playing hooker, reserve grade 20s all year. And Graham Lowe changed the way they thought and played and did not play, but the way they thought, and made the whole training session fun because he knew it was do or die. So instead of training as a team and doing ball drills and all the rest of it, we were having egg and spoon races. Mm. We were playing games to lighten up the attitude, to say, okay, yes, it may be a thing that we're doing, but let's just take the pressure off ourselves. And it nearly worked. I don't know if you remember that game, Manly beat Canberra in 91. We nearly beat them, but I sat on the bench that game. But I don't know how, you know, because I've never been to a grand final. I just don't know how other teams would prepare. I don't know if we had, a coach to get us that far. Look, I'm not trying to bag any coach that we had, but it's just we won reserve grade comps, with Peter Louis and the second year, I think, Mulholland won up with us. But first grade is obviously a different field because there's media involved. And it puts pressure on everyone.
The spotlight.
I don't know if we handle the pressures as good as what we could have.
No, you're spot on, because it's not just about how you play on the field. It's everything else, isn't it? Because, I'm a Parramatta fan. I've seen Parramatta stumble at the last hurdle plenty of times. There's so much more goes into that time of year. So you're at Manly, of course. I forgot that's where you started out. So your first grade debut could have actually been a semi-final, you were just saying. It could have been against the Raiders. What was that like, sitting in the grandstand in 91 at the SFS?
Well, look, it was, as much as it was exciting, it was very disappointing because I was 18 turning 19 that year. I'd left school and gone back to school. I played 2 years Australian schoolboys. I use it sometimes if I get interviewed or do a speech where they say, you're one of only a few to play 2 years Australian schoolboys. I said, year 12 was the best 4 years of my life, which is just a joy. I did have a year and 2 years in year 11 and a year in year 12. But my brother-in-law, Jason Deve, actually did the same. He played 2 years Australian schoolboys. But I could have definitely, the most disappointing thing was Dave Nable, who at the time, who is Matty Nable's father, was a trainer at Manly. He came and picked me out of school and took me across. And everyone's going, what's going on? I said, I'm playing first grade this week, because that's what they told me. All my classmates see me do this. They said, what's going on? So I told them the truth. Then when I got to training, he said, I'm not really sure if you're going to be starting, but you'll definitely get a run, was Graham Lowe's words to me. Hmm. So I've gone back and told all my mates at school that. And to not get a run break my heart. I get a bit emotional thinking about it because of what could have been. So that was a hard thing, you know.
Wow.
I never wanted to leave Manly, but I did because of that. So.
Really? So you were that upset? You don't think it was a mind game from Lowy, or was it?
As an 18-year-old kid, to say you'll definitely get a run.
Mm.
Yeah, mate, why would you play a mind game with me?
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't say it to anyone else.
Did he explain it afterwards?
Nah, never has.
Jeez.
I signed with North Sydney probably 2 weeks after that. I said, shut up your ass.
Yeah. You went to the enemy. They were arch rivals, the old Bears and Seagulls. Jeez.
Yeah. But
I don't blame you.
Not many people have heard that story.
Mm.
So, but it's the truth.
Yeah, mate. You had such a great team, the Bears, didn't you? In the 90s, and I'm just 97. This was the ARL Super League. Both competitions were split, and you made another prelim against the Knights. Oh, mate, I had a look back at this. This is the Matty Sears try in the corner, tackled by Darren Allen. Great tackle by Albert. But, mate, I had a look at a replay today, and the vision isn't as good as the replays these days. But, see, I don't even know if he went out. It was a great tackle, but it could have been a try to see. But anyway, it got disallowed, and Newcastle won.
He claimed the try. I mean, the most disappointing thing about that game, Adam, and Jason Taylor leading point score, or leading goal kick, or whatever it was, and he kicked one from five from memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
One from five is 11-10 with 2 minutes to go.
And he's one of those guys you'd put your house on, JT, with the boot.
He's a sharpshooter, always was.
It's like, man, it's like Halligan in 91, the Bears against Penrith. Halligan got one from five. Yeah,
crazy statistics and heartbreaking statistics when you look back on it to see how close we could have, you know, how close we did come. 97, we had the Woodhaver man. I remember touching them up during the year. So it was exciting times for us. Look, the thing about the Bears was we're all mates and we're all in it together. We still are all mates and we still keep in regular contact with most of the boys. So, it's just, mate, look, what ended up happening in the end, and look, I sort of took over from Mara and Gav Jones and Tooley. Steve Trindle come in. Below us was Mark O'Mealy and Paul Stringer. And, mate, those two blokes and Willie Lation. Like, as far as the middle goes, it was just a succession program.
Yeah.
Like, it was, we were going to be really have been really good hands for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years after I would have retired in probably 2002, 2003 had we still been in the comp. But we had players coming through. Like Mark O'Mealy was a freak. He was 17 when he made his debut in the front row. But I never saw anything like him. He was just an animal.
Well, they called him Shrek for a good reason.
Yeah, but he was just an animal. Like he'd rub Metzl into his face before a game. What the fuck's this idiot?
That's a true story.
Why would he be putting moisturiser on his face? That's not moisturiser. That's fucking that fucking heat shield.
Deep heat. It was deep heat. Like,
something's crazy. I said, oh, my God. Anyway.
Mate, when you look back over a few beers of those years between 94, 97, do you think you had a team that should have won a premiership?
Even up to 98. Yeah. 99 was probably our slide year. I did my neck. I slipped a disc in my neck and my left arm no longer responded. We played 7 weeks out with that. But Kieran Dempsey came in. We had the horrible experience of trying to move to Gosford. So we actually tried to train out of there, even though we're playing at North City. And we were the travelling Wilburys from memory. We played a fair, various different games, like Berry Ground. So I didn't know what the Wales were. What the thinking was there behind that, but
well, basically, I think weren't the Bears told if you move to Gosford, you'll be counted as a non-Sydney club and you'll survive the cut. I think that was the idea, but there was a shitload of rain.
And yeah, of course there was, but we were trying to build the stadium, and the stadium was under construction, but because of the rain, it delayed it. And unfortunately, we never got to play out of there as the North Sydney Bears. As a reserve grader, yes, I did, but as a first grader, no. We played in there with Northern Eagles, but it was a tough time. And travelling to Gosford to train, knowing full well that you're going to not play from there, you're going to play at out of North Sydney Oval or whatever, it didn't make any sense. But why they had to do that was because a fair few players upped their family and they moved to places like Copacabana, Terrigal. David Fairley always lived there, so he didn't have to move. Danny Williams, he was no longer with us. He'd gone to the Melbourne Storm. But these are the Central Coast products. Matty Orford was part of it. You know what I mean, like String was part of it. He lives at Berkeleyville. So it was very hard to take. And you know, can you imagine going from training? And part of the reason why I went to North City when I left Manly was because it was 25 minutes away from my house. I still live at my parents' house, as opposed to going to a Canterbury or a Tigers, and all these clubs all offered me money and good money, and so did the Roosters. But I didn't want to leave home, and I didn't want to have to travel too far to go to train because it mucks with your head because Yeah. You're going to train twice in a day. What are you going to do during the day? You're going to go and waste money or do whatever.
Yeah.
Or you're going to do work. So it was hard, you know, that period.
Tell us the Northern Eagles, how that unfolded. From memory, were you guys called into a room at the end of, what was it, 99 and just told, right, these guys we want and these guys we don't want? Is that how it worked?
It was something similar to that at the time. Danny Harley, who was our operations manager at North Sydney, was made an interim CEO. But it was predominantly Manly based in regards to Frank Benicia, who was like assistant coach / football operations manager. Peter Sharp was a coach. A large chunk of the Manly players stayed. I can't remember from memory how many bears were there, but it was like a homecoming to me because I already knew Beaver and that really well. They were all a year younger than me. I knew Nick Kozef really well. Got on famously based by Brendan Reeves and Albie Torrens. Like I got on with everyone wherever I went, but it was just not the same as my teammates at the Bears. I think Billy Moore retired because of it.
Gary
Larson went to Parramatta, yeah. Jason Taylor had 1 year with us and then he went to Parramatta. Sharpie was good in his own way. But as I see a lot these days, being a good assistant coach or a great assistant coach doesn't make you a first grade coach. I can give examples, but there's no need to put anyone down on this sort of chat. But it's funny how life works, and Sharpie is very good skillful wise, that's for sure. But as far as communication, probably not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it just didn't work out, did it? I remember watching the first season of Northern Eagles and JT. Like, I don't think the Manly fans embraced the Bears players. And I remember JT was halfback for Northern Eagles. I remember him getting booed at Brookvale.
And look, and that was the thing is because it wasn't a. Yeah, call it a joint venture, but it wasn't. You know, we were never joined. It was two warring tribes that were put together. It's like putting the Maoris with the Tongans or something. You know, I mean, look, I don't know how all that sort of stuff works, but it was never going to be a match made in heaven. It was just going to be a tough ask from the get go. Yeah, it's very similar to the Tigers and West. You know, I mean, like they're still. Struggling with it, you know.
But, mate, because they were fierce battles you had with Manly. I mean, some of those games at North Sydney Oval were just brilliant.
Mate, I remember, I don't know if you remember this one, Paul, which you probably would have worked at it. I believe it was a Friday evening and we wore the old jerseys. We had the striped red, black, brown, and Manly had the big eagle across the front.
Yeah.
There's 23,500 people in there.
Yeah.
And at the end, Bobby the Bear just said, open the doors, let him in.
Yeah.
Because he was getting crushed at the gate. It was amazing. Like, Dan Roberts was playing from back then. Like, what a bloke he was, what a player he was. You know, like, just the clashes were. They were also the most enjoyable because it was my former club and you always pick up for those sort of games. And very, very fond memories. I remember, you know, taking on Nick Kozef numerous times because he said, okay, you got me, now it's my turn to get you. I said, yeah, mate, go for your life. And we just charged at each other. Like, it was just stupidity, but also great. But Danny Gardner, I played, you know, a majority of my junior football with Narrabeen Sharks with him. So those sort of things were always stuck in my mind. Initially, when I first went to first grade, Dave Newell Hoskins was my coach at before I went to grade. Jughead Jones, I played against all those sort of blokes, playing for the Bears. I've got fond memories of being Manly. And this thing, as I said, it's all what happened. And it happened. Mate, the players at Manly, all the first graders had told me, he said, mate, you've got to get out of here, Josh, because of the way they've treated you this year, because that's not right. You should have played first grade with us this year. So that sort of added to why I left and that. So that, mate, football's an amazing sport. I love it. I still love it. And now I've got the pleasure of watching my nephew not only win one grand final, but he's won two. And he's hopefully going to win his third this year.
Yeah, mate, I still get hit up by Bears mates. Me good mates are Sodes and Leezy and my stepdad Jeff. They want the Bears back. You know, they just diehard Bears fans. Do you encounter these guys, these sort of people, and do you think it'll ever happen?
Yeah, look, I think we're in the best space we can be commercially, and I think with Daniel Dixon being at the helm, I think he's on it for all the right reasons. Like, and look, without having a shot at anyone, I don't like putting anyone down because it's in the past. But people in the past have done it for their own benefit in regards to driving around in nice cars at the expense of the club. Where Daniel's not earning any money from it, he's just doing it for the passion. So I think that's a massive difference. He's doing it, of course, he's got a genuine interest in the Bears. And Daniel Dixon is an entrepreneur. He's an amazing person. Him and his wife Deb, and they, by doing it for the right reasons, I think people can see that it's genuine.
Yeah.
And I think Peter Volandis can see that. And look, as long as we get the red and back in regards to the Bears colours, pull us to some whatever Bears, I don't care. I don't want to be known as a South Pacific Bears, if it's Western Bears or whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
All you have to do is play two or four games at North Sydney Oval. I'll be happy with that. Or if you want to play two games at the Bears and two at Central Coast, I don't give a rat's ass. I'll travel there. You know, I'll go over to WA to watch them play. Like, it's just getting the Bears back in there. Like, the hard thing with me is my kids don't even know who the Bears are. You know, my daughter was born, I got married in 2000. My daughter was born in 2001. I finished in 2001. You know, so for her to understand it, yes, you can watch as many games as you can on football on TV if you like, but it's not the same, you know?
No, of course not. Mate, just wrapping up, who was the best player you ever went up against or played with?
We went up against, the battles I used to love was with blokes like Spuds. Spud was tough, but he's straight up and down. I just knew how to tackle him. We just knew him around the legs and knock him over. He wasn't the most skillful bloke in regards to the pass the ball and doing off flat and all that stuff, but he was willing and it was... never threw a punch at me, which I was probably fortunate or unfortunate, I don't know. But I liked having battles with him. I loved having battles with Ian Roberts, but Ian Roberts is too big for me to handle. Marty Bella, he was always good fun.
Big Marty.
The Adam Richard, an amazing, like I remember him in 16-year-old coming on Shark Park and I thought, I'll teach you some bloke a lesson. I think he was 16 at the time.
Mm.
I don't know if that's correct or not, but I remember vaguely. And he took a hit up, and I hit him with everything I had. And I reckon I hit him in the chest. By the time he fell over, which is about 5 minutes later going forward, I was around his ankles. I went, fuck me, dead. What was that? I mean, so the best player I played with, Greg Florimo, Jason Taylor. Like Jason Taylor, incredible, tough bloke as well. For him to play the amount of first grade games consecutive at 75, 78.
Ringing wet.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous. Joey John's unbelievable. I was fortunate enough to play New South Wales Schoolboys with him in 1991. They had a big rap on Damien Chapman, who was St. Greg's Campbelltown, and they couldn't see past Damien Chapman to give Joey an opportunity. But these sort of things happen in life, and you can't. But Joey's an immortal now, and he's already 48. You know, I mean, like amazing feat for Joey and what he did in his career. The Chief was always tough. Sarjo, Butsy, like you look at their pack. Like I took them when I was 92 kilo. When we played Newcastle in 93. I think we beat them and beat them well up there. But like football, I could talk about it all day. I don't get bored of it. You know, look, Like, I don't normally talk about myself in football, but because you put me on this, it flows easy.
Mate, it's been awesome, man. Mate, give yourself a rap. What was the best try you ever scored?
I scored a couple down at North Sydney Oval, but one that sticks in my mind, I got a pass off JT. I scored under the sticks against the Crushers. I was very lucky to hold the ball, but scored five tries. I can't remember more, but I should be able to remember them and where I was playing and wrestling. One got us into the semi-finals against the Gold Coast at Seagull Stadium. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a big rap after that game because I busted my ass in that game. But
you played for City. Played for City 1997. Did you think? Yeah, you think Origin might have been a chance?
What's that?
Did you think Origin?
I would have loved to play at Origin. I think it would have suited me down the ground. But again, Origin sort of back in 1997, I would have been 24. I probably wasn't of the understanding of how good I could have been. Mm. And I was probably a bit lazy at different times in my career. So, look, I probably trained just as hard, if not harder now than when I was playing. But, look, it's the old thing, putting an old head on the young shoulders, knowing the opportunity that you got at the time that you got it. That's why I take my hat off to Nathan so much, because he leaves no stone unturned. And I'm not too sure if you're aware that he doesn't chase money in regards to doing all this other stuff. He just concentrated on his football and lets the rest of it handle itself. He knows that he's always going to be there for him as long as his football's there. So you see a lot of other players and they're doing ads and doing that. He's just focused on football.
And just on that family to finish, the family connections, what's your Christmas get-togethers like? There must be some fierce backyard footy games. Well, Jason Deith, he played for the Raiders. He played, he might have played Super League.
Poor doctor. He was at the Canberra Raiders in 91 when they won the comp. 91 they got beat by Penrith.
Yeah, Penrith, yeah.
Yeah, but he was here in 1990 when they won the comp, I believe. Yeah.
You'd have Ivan coming over, the great Ivan Cleary. It's a decent bloody game.
So, yeah, but we don't do that sort of stuff because, you know, Ivan's brothers are pretty handy, but all the nephews, there's 20 grandkids.
Sheesh.
Right? So there's 20 grandkids involved. But, yeah, you've got the Clearys, the Stewarts, the Deves, the Frankses. So Paul Franks' father's Phil Franks. All played a bit of Manly reserve grade in the 20s and that. My brother played Manly 20s and reserve grade. We're doing Penrith. We're doing Christmas out of Penrith this year. So that's with all the family. So that'll be interesting. But I'd rather play golf than bloody play football, that's for sure. I won't be running around.
Well, mate, I hope they don't win three in a row because my Eels, we're the last team to win three in a row. So, mate, maybe the Broncos will knock them off, but they're a bloody good team.
Mate, I tell you what, it's going to be a great game because I think they're very, very similar styles, the Broncos and the Panthers. They both got great little generals in regards to Adam Reynolds and Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
Nathan, not so little. He's a big body, Nathan.
He's a bit bigger than JT.
Yeah. And look, they're both very, very skillful sides and they've both got great forward backs and they've both got great backs. And Penrith just keep producing players. You know, like you think, oh, so-and-so's out. How are they going to recover from that? And they just put another one in.
It's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's unreal. Josh, doing a great job. Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
Behind every good man, there's an even better woman. And my sister does a lot for the club out there in regards to getting the families together and keeping everyone happy and all that. And look, the women and wives, and I love having a drink and sticking together. It's a really good atmosphere out there. I go out there regularly and catch up with them. And it's never a dull moment. It's always fun.
Did your sister like footy when you guys were growing up or?
She was sort of dragged along to watch my brother and myself play. One of my younger sisters, Monique, who's married to Paul Franks, she was actually a cheerleader at the Bears for a period of time back in the 90s. And then Yvette met up with Jason when she went over, met him in New Zealand when she went over to see Beck and Ivan 1 year, and her and Jason got together. So it's a footy family.
Sure is.
My dad used to love talking football to Ivan, myself. It used to do me head in because I was a bit of a smart ass, especially when I was living at home, because, you know, like, football was my job from 95 onwards. And Dad would ask me when I get home and say, "So who's on the footy side?" I said, "Dad, I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know?" I said, "Well, I don't know. He hasn't picked a side yet." He said, "But it's Tuesday afternoon." I said, "Well, he hasn't made his decision." I said, "You don't have to know it until Thursday." He said, "But the paper comes out tomorrow." I said, and Dad always read the paper anyway. I said, "Dad, how many sausages did you make today?" He says, "What?" I said, "Well, you're asking me about my work. I'm asking you about your work." I said, "How many sausages did you make today?" He says, "What have you been a smart ass for?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm asking you a question. How's that been a smart ass? I'm asking how many sausages did you make." He goes, "What do you fucking ask me that for?" I said, "Because you just asked me about football. I'm asking you about your work. How many customers did you serve today?" "Oh, you're just a fucking smart ass."
Oh, man.
So you look back at it, and Dad's been dead for 8 years, and he never got to see Nathan play, but he was the best judge. He knew that Nathan was going to be a superstar, and he's proven everyone right.
He picked it. Mate, Josh, absolute pleasure chatting to you, mate. Great career. Thanks for the walk down memory lane. Some fantastic memories. All the best with Dual Finance, mate. And hopefully Nathan Cleary, nephew Nathan, can get the job done for the family.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it'll be sensational.
Thanks, mate.
All right, Aussie. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, bud.